Well, God bless you. Wonderful to be together with the believers and all of you that have called in on the conference call, as well as you folks here. So, great, huh? A lot of things to think about, huh? We're living in very interesting times. And but what makes us have the ability to move through them as victors is the greatness of God's Word. No doubt about it. So, you know, this past week, we've been looking at living the big three. And you know what the big three is? Faith, hope, and charity, right? Faith, hope, and charity. A lot of things are in threes, like present or past, present, future. You know, we've talked about that a little bit. And we've been talking about the love of God. And certainly we've been talking about the hope of Christ's return, huh? Yeah. Al last Sunday shared about the bigness of God's love and how wonderful that is. Monday I shared a little bit about the victory we have because of the hope of Christ's return. And then Wednesday, Jeffrey taught about the integrity of God's Word. And then Barney did a wonderful teaching, and I'm glad we have this available on our website so that you can listen to them again. But Barney taught about living in grace, be strong in God's grace, and our loving response is to do good, rejoice, pray, and be thankful. So this morning I want to share with you and hopefully impart with you some insights on believing, okay? Believing. Now, how important is believing? Very important, isn't it? You know, our salvation comes as a result of our believing, right? A lot of things happen in our life as a result of believing, either negative believing or positive believing. So my goal here is to help impart some information from God's Word that will help you believe God bigger and better than ever before, okay? We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 3 to start. Okay, so chapter 3. And we're going to zero in on some wonderful insights on God's Word. And you know, and as we move through some of these scriptures, and this is a sidebar or side note here, as we do move through scriptures, you're going to see different things that may touch your heart. And have your heart open, your eyes looking to see what God can highlight for you. I know for me, when I listen to different teachings, obviously there's a subject being presented, but sometimes as we read different scriptures, things pop out to me, you know? And I kind of make a note of that and check them out. And many times, that's the inspiration that comes for future teachings. So, yeah, so as we read through some of these scriptures, you know, open your heart. God's going to feed you some wonderful things, as well as, I trust, on some keys on believing God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. All right, let's take a look at that in detail. Wherefore? And a lot of your translations, different translations, has therefore. I see some nods. Okay, therefore or wherefore. And when you see that word wherefore or therefore, you got to ask the question, why is therefore? Why is it therefore? So, obviously, it's a transition on what's been said before, and as a result, therefore, we're going to do something, right? Okay, so we're going to be looking at some previous scriptures. We'll look at chapter 2 in a moment, but I want to highlight some other things in this verse. And holy brethren, who is holy brethren? You and I are holy brethren. You know, and he says we're not just brothers, but we're holy brothers. We're sanctified. We're special children of God. And we are partakers of a heavenly calling. It's not like, you know, you got into the family of God haphazardly. You just kind of tripped into it. No, no. God called you with a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. So I trust you see right here now, you are very, very special to God, right? Very special. Now, here's the big word. Consider those of us who are holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider something. And the word consider means to look, fix your eyes on. Look upon it with fixed eyes, okay? So let's fix our eyes. And what are we going to fix our eyes on? The apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now don't be fooled when it says consider apostle, high priest of our profession. And in your profession, you might be a plumber. Or you might be a male person. You might be a teacher. No, the profession is talking about is who? Christ Jesus. Now the word profession is a key word here and what I want to share with you. And this word is homologeo. Homologeo. Two words here. Homo. Homo is one, right? One. And legeo is from logos, word, same. Same word. Same word. And that's literally what this word means, is to say the same words. Say the same words that God says. So, I think one good translation would be confession. You confess something because you believe it. Okay, this is the truth. I'm an American. I'm going to confess this. I'm going to stand on this. I'm a citizen of the USA. So, we say the same things. And that's what we want to do. As we look, we want to see our Lord and Savior, and we want to see Him, and we want to see Him in us. We want to walk like He walks. See, He is our confession. God's Word says in Colossians 1:27, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? So you are a child of God. So you want to say that. That's your profession or your confession. I'm a son of God. Now, what does that mean to you, being a son of God? You might be a son of some famous person. You might be, you know, feel proud about that. Or maybe you're a son of somebody you don't even know, your parents. Maybe, you know, maybe you're down and out because of that. That's the world. But spiritually, you're the son and daughter of God Almighty. You've been called with a heavenly calling. So we want to focus on Jesus Christ and see and have that confession in our life that we are what the Word of God says we are. So, as I said earlier, this verse started with therefore, right? So we got to look at why the there is for there. So let's go to verse 14 in chapter 2. Okay, so chapter 2, Hebrews verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Who has the power of death? Devil. Man, we gotta realize that. God does not take people home. He does not take people home, not through death. He takes them home when he comes to sends his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to gather us up together. That's taking us home. So the power of death is in the devil. And the fear of death is just, I think, something every human being deals with in their mind. And this next verse here, verse 15, and delivered them, who through what? Fear of death, were all their lifetime, how long? All their lifetime subject, bound to bondage. You know, death binds people. They don't understand it. It was interesting, I was talking with Barney recently, and he said, this verse saved my life. Because I was in bondage with the fear of death. I didn't know what I was, where I'm going, what's happening. I know for me personally, that's what really got me going was, when you die, what happens? You know, is life only to be lived and then died and then it's over with? Is there more? Well, look what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ. We've been set free. We have been delivered from death. So we should not be afraid of death. Not at all. We may fall asleep. We wonderful people have been falling asleep that we know and love. But their next awakening moment is the face-to-face, right? Face-to-face with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then eternity really takes off. Really does. So that's a wonderful reality and truth that we can hold on to, and then that should give us some confidence in living this life now until Christ does come back or until we do fall asleep. Okay, verse 16. For verily He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Jesus Christ didn't come down and He was some ethereal angel-type being. He was a man. Through the seed of man, Abraham, it says here. Wherefore, in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. So Jesus Christ wasn't some, you know, angel being that was impervious to the temptations and the things of this world. He was a man. And He was subject to the temptations. That's why He is so a wonderful Savior for us, because He walked perfectly. He did the perfect walk before the Father. He did not sin. And that's why we have Him to trust in. So we look to Him. So, next verse, wherefore, therefore, as a result of what Jesus Christ has done here, we look to Him. Our confession, we say the things that Jesus Christ says, right? We say the same things, confess what He says. Verse 2, chapter 3, verse 2, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses, in many verses, it talks about him being faithful. He had to be faithful for a long time, didn't he? And that was a comparison that the people in the Bible times could really associate with as far as somebody that was faithful. Now, verse 3, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we, or in a better translation, as a result, we hold fast the confidence. We hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. There's that hope again, right? That hope is something that we can be confident in. We hold fast with the confidence that we have, that we can rejoice in the hope until the end. All right, well, we're gonna jump here over to chapter 4. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, here's Jesus Christ. He is that perfect man, perfect priest. He's passed up into heaven. He's the Son of God. As a result of this, as we see him, let us what? Hold fast our profession. Again, that's that same word, homologeo. It means to confession. Hold fast to our confession. Oh, what are we confessing? Oh, I'm just a weak old sinner that's in this weary world going, just getting by. No, no, we're sons of God. Our confession is, I've got Christ in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror, right? See, these are the things that we should be talking about, the things that we should be confessing and saying. Instead of getting all wrapped up in the politics and all the craziness in the world and talking about social media and everything, you know, our social media is, I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm a son of God with power. See, these are the things we want to be talking about. So we hold fast to that confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Did Jesus Christ go through the same crap we did? Yes, and more. You will never go through the suffering that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through. No way. So he knows. He knows where we're at, what we suffer, what goes on in our heart and life. We should recognize that. But was in all points tempted like we are, and yet without sin. Praise the Lord. Let us, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly. There's that therefore. Why is that therefore for? Well, as a result that we look to him, we confess, we hold fast our profession as sons of God, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. A lot of times we quote this verse, come boldly to the throne of grace. We just got to remember, why we come boldly? What is it that energizes our boldness? Well, we're saying who we are in Christ. We're saying the truth of God's word. So that, because of that, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. I think most of us have worked for a boss. We have all had a boss in our life, right? And so you're working away and stuff like that, and you get a call or the secretary calls, hey, the boss wants to see you. So what is your response to that? Uh-oh, what did I mess up now? What did he find something out that I did this? Oh my golly, you know, we're going in with knees knocking and stuff like that. Do we go boldly in to see the boss? But I tell you what, if we have our profession together, right, in that job or whatever, we just go right in there boldly, right? Because there's nothing, we haven't done anything wrong. But what about spiritually? When we come boldly to the throne of grace, why can't we go boldly? Because we've got Christ in us. We're more than conquerors. We're sons of God. So let's get stepping. Let's go before the Heavenly Father and have the confidence that we can be there and we should be there. He wants us there. And what else does it say? Come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Yeah, we do have needs. We have things going on in our life. So we go boldly, though, not because we're suffering need, but we know God meets every one of our needs. Isn't that neat? I hope you see this bigger. That's the key that I'm sharing with you as far as believing bigger, is to confess bigger. Confess how big you are in Christ. We hold fast to our profession. Okay, we've got to go to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. You know, I think most of you know Michael McNair. And he's going through some real challenging physical stuff. Some of you know what he's going through. And he's been having treatments every day for the month, last month. But you know what he does? I think almost every morning he sends out a message. Some of you get that. Every morning he sends out a real positive message of who he is in Christ and that he's going to look to have great success for the day. Now that's believing. That's stepping out. That's homologeo, saying who you are. Okay? I think he's a beautiful example of doing that. Yeah, so let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 10. All right, looks like you all are already there. Verse 23, we'll go there. You know, we just need to be copycats of the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he deal with situations? Did he have confidence? Did he have boldness? Well, you got Christ in you, so you too can have that in every situation. All right, we're going to look at verse 19 first, okay? Verse 19, chapter 10, Hebrews. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Believing. If you're believing, then you are assured of what you are believing in, right? You have that full assurance of believing, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, the devil tries to make us feel like sinners, feel like we're in condemnation because we make mistakes. We didn't rise up to believe God big enough in certain areas. So he throws this condemnation trip on us. And he tries to put us down, right? But don't go there with him. He can speak all he wants, but that's not you and I, is it? You and I have Christ in us. And we don't buy into the devil's talk. Not at all. And that's why we have this boldness to enter in. And we know that our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession. It should be confession. Some of your translations probably have that. King James says profession. But let us hold fast the confession of our faith, our believing. That's the key right there. The wonderful key in believing God is to hold fast to the confession of who you are in Christ. Okay? We don't buy into our feelings. We don't buy into our emotions. We don't buy into what the newsmen say or anybody else. We buy into what God's Word says. Amen. So we hold fast to that. Hold fast to that confession. Because believers are getting beat up, I tell you, because they're buying into this crazy world. Don't. Let's have our confession. Believing God. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without what? Wavering. No wavering, all right? We stay bold and fast. For he is faithful that promised. Who's faithful that promised? Is God a man that he should lie? No way. So we hold fast to it. We hold fast to it. Let's close out in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll close out here. I trust you're getting the point here and believing God bigger. And that is having your confession, saying who you really are because of what the Scriptures say you are. All right. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of believing. You know, believing God is a challenge sometimes, right? that believe God through all the information and all the junk that's thrown at us, it's a fight. But don't back down because it's a fight. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can triumph through Christ. So go into that fight and let him have it. Let the old devil have it. Fight the good fight of believing. Lay hold on eternal life. What does that mean, to lay hold on eternal life? Do we have any questions about eternal life? Do we have any question that God might not send his son back? That we don't have the hope of Christ? No, we got that, baby. We know he's coming back. We know that we are his forevermore. So we've already laid hold of that. Lay hold of eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has what? Confessed a good confession before many witnesses. All right? Isn't that a neat verse? The repetition is a figure of speech there with the repetition of that word there. So, our profession is our confession. That we have Christ in us, we are his forevermore. We say what he says. We say what the Word of God says. That's who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. That's it. Right? Is that an amen? All right, we got some amens here. So, Father, thank you for the reality of who we really are in this crazy world, that we are yours. We are sons of God with power. We have your love just set abroad in our hearts so that we can reach out to this world and help them and bless them. I pray, Father, that we can recognize the value of confessing who we are from what your word says so that we can believe you more and more, bigger and bigger. So we love you, Father. Thank you for making this wonderful eternal life for us so readily available. That is sewn up. It's deal. It's done. And that we can go before the throne of grace boldly. Boldly. And we sure love you, Father. Thank you for this. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us here this morning, and you folks.